Well, this evening we commence the second study on the third angel, and it's entitled The Shaking, or The Separating of the Wheat and the Tares, which is part of the third angel's message, part of the third angel's work. As we explore the third angel's message, looking at Revelation 14 where it is given, let us note in verses 9 and 10 and then 12 and 13 what the third angel is actually doing in his preaching. So Revelation 14 there in verse 9. Revelation 14 verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So here is the angel addressing a certain company of people, those who worship the beast and his image and receive the mark in the forehead. They will receive the wrath of God. Then in verse 12 and 13 it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So here you see another class, the class that has the patience of the saints that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So the third angel is actually, as you notice there, qualifying two companies, identifying opposite companies. In his presentation, he is actually exercising a selective influence in his message. The inhabitants of the earth are being segregated by his preaching. The ones that are receiving the mark of the beast and the ones that are keeping the commandments of God. And you notice that that message is directly pre-verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So immediately before the second advent, this is the work that this third angel is doing, segregating by his message a people. It's very interesting when you hear someone say the people who keep the commandments of God versus the people who are receiving the mark of the beast. Straight away there is a splitting of companies there. What is declared in this statement, in that immediately before the coming of Jesus, there is this message. In Amos 9 verse 9, just prior to the coming of Jesus, this is what is announced. In Amos 9 verse 9. In verse 8, you can see it is a at the time for the destroying of the earth, and then verse 9. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. So at the time when the sinful kingdom is going to be destroyed from off the face of the earth, there is a sifting taking place, a separating, as corn is sifted in a sieve. And then there's that comforting statement, not the least grain will fall on the ground. God will make sure that the grain is going to be kept for the garner. So according to what we identify in the third angel, the three angels' messages relate to this very text of Amos 9:9. They are actually the very announcement of their messages is to do with the shaking or the separating of God's true people from those that are to be destroyed. As it said there, he will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob. So if he's not going to utterly destroy the house of Jacob, he's going to destroy the sinful kingdom, then he's going to have to separate the ones that shouldn't be destroyed. And that's exactly what the third angel is saying. Anyone that's going to receive the mark of the beast and worship the beast and the image of the beast is going to be destroyed. And here are the people that are not going to be destroyed. That's evident there. And Jesus gave a parable that clearly leads us to understand this event. And it's found in Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Yeah, it's very interesting that this message of the three angels has been preached for a while already, but very sadly, people don't realize what it really involves. It's all a lovely or a sort of a interesting subject, but to actually see it in application is what people don't want to know, because this is actually segregating. It's actually separating. And here Jesus gives the parable of that in Matthew 13, verses 36. He had just given the parable in verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in the field, and then during the night the enemy came in and sowed tares, and now the two have to grow together. And when he sent away the multitude in verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Other than fire, so shall it be of which people are being segregated. And the company that is going to is the tares is going to be burned. And you notice what we read in the third angel's message is that they will be burned, these people who worship the beast in his image. Interesting comparison. So let's really qualify from the word of God how Matthew 13 is directly what the three angels' messages are doing. First of all, he said in verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the world, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, the shallow reader usually reads this to mean Jesus is coming with his angels and the angels do the separating at the coming of Jesus. That's usually the way people read that. But let's find out what Jesus as segregation between the wicked and the wise. And it's at the time of the end. So when Jesus said in the parable, the harvest is the end of the world, the people who understood Jesus speaking at that time understood that the harvest wasn't a one-day event. They understood what the harvest was according to their method of harvesting. It was a season in which the reapers went around with their sickles, and it was the whole fields were cut and stooks were set up to dry in the summer heat. And those stooks would sit there for quite a period of time and then they would be gathered in. They understood, and Jesus used that parable to demonstrate that the end of the world, the time of the end. And at the time of the end, angels would be doing some work in the time of the end. So we read Revelation chapter 10 and identify an angel identifying the end. Revelation chapter 10. Because what we read in Daniel chapter 12 is connected here in Revelation chapter 10. Remember, the book of Daniel was closed. Revelation chapter 10 discusses this. Verses 1 and 2. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And for brevity, we come across to verse 5 and 6. And the angel which I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. This angel says, longer. As he's got a book open, when he says, it's time no longer, it's the end. Come over to verses 8 to 11. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So this book was eating. This is, of course, very symbolic. When you digest a book, what do? you actually read it. The Reader's Digest understand that very well. That's why they call it Reader's Digest, because people, they use the word, they eat those things that are written in there, they digest them. That's the same simile that God is using here, that the book that was to be opened at the time no longer is to be eaten and studied and digested, and it will give a sense to people, oh sweet, the bliss of the end of the world, Jesus is coming. And so they expect Jesus to come, but there's a bitterness that strikes when they digest it, because no, you must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues and kings. Your work isn't over yet, even though it's the time of the end. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 16 to 19, this angel that says there is time no longer is also there in Daniel 8, verses 16 to 19. Here Daniel sees this vision, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. When he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. Right, so we're trying to understand the parable of Christ. The harvest is the end of the world. There is a time appointed that the end shall be. And the angel Gabriel in Daniel chapter 8 is going to explain, I will make you know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. So, if we read verse 14, I read from 2, page 108. Selected Messages, book 2, page 108. It says, the quote of Revelation 10, 5 and 6 is given here. The message of Revelation 14, proclaiming that the hour of God's judgment has come, is given in the time of the end. And the angel of Revelation 10 is represented as having one foot on the sea and one foot on the land, showing that the message will be carried to distant lands, the ocean will be crossed, and the islands of the sea will hear the proclamation of the last message of warning to the world. Then the quote is made, this message announces the end of prophetic periods. The disappointment of those who expected to see our Lord in 1844 was indeed bitter to those who had so ardently looked for his appearing. It was in the Lord's order that this disappointment should come and that hearts should be revealed. Not one cloud had fallen upon the church that God has not prepared for. Not one opposing force has risen to counterwork the work of God, but he has foreseen. All has taken place as predicted through his prophets. He has not left his church in darkness, forsaken, but has traced in prophetic declaration what would occur, and through his providence, acting in its appointed place in the world's history, he has brought about that which his Holy Spirit inspired the prophets to foretell. So we can see that In prophecy, as we've just been reading so far, what we are to expect in 1844, men will be traveling from all across the earth, so that this book that was closed is that now open, everybody can hear about it. And how true this is. In those times, travel was beginning to take place because of the trade that was going on all across the world, but it's increased from that time to this point in time where everything goes across the world in a huge speed and everybody can hear it from one spot. Work through that season of the harvest. So the book declaring that there is time no longer is the book of Daniel that was closed. Unto 2,300 days, then there would be the time of the end, as the angel said. I'm going to explain to you the end of the time. And chapter 12 says, seal the book until that time. So there in this time of the end, from 1844 onwards, we would then expect, according to the harvest, that Jesus told in the parable, that the angels would be sent forth to gather the wicked from among the good. And indeed, the three angels are reapers in the time of the end. They're doing the reaping. How are they reaping? What in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we see the kind of thing that the preaching of the word does. Hebrews 4, verse 12. As the first angel was preaching, he was preaching the everlasting gospel and he announced the hour of God's judgment is come. So what was he doing as he was preaching? Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So as the first angel is preaching his message, like we have studied, it was cutting. Like a sickle, it was cutting the harvest of the earth. The people were being cut to the core. They were, as the message proceeds, it identifies the pure truth and it identifies how the heart reacts to it. And we'd studied that already, that a large number of people rejected that message while others accepted it. And that was the cutting. And as it was written there in Revelation 10 verse 11, you must go and prophesy again to many nations and peoples and tongues. So that's the first angel is actually doing the cutting. He's doing harvesting. He's cutting the people with the message. The second angel follows, which we'd studied, Revelation 14 verse 8, Babylon the Great is fallen. Straight away, this second reaper is identifying the Babylonish people. They are rejecting the message, and we've studied that as well. By rejecting the first angel's message, the churches, the denominational churches, were falling in the direction of the tares through the cutting of the first angel's message. The second angel is actually putting the tares to one side, identifying them there. And then comes the third reaper, the third angel. And what does he do? We've just established it as we looked at it in the beginning of our study now. He identifies those who worship the beast, his image, and receive his mark. And he says, you are going to burn. And then he says, and here are they who keep the commandments of God and have the That's the third angel. He is identifying the wheat and the tares. Now, we come to this of identifying and binding in bundles for the heavenly garner and in the tares, for the tares to burn, in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7 and verses 1 to 4. In the time of the end. Here is another time of the end, how this angel comes and binds in Revelation 7, 1 to 4. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree. Remember, that was Amos 9:9. I'm going to destroy, or 9:8. I'm going to destroy the wicked kingdom. But before that happens, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Till we have sealed. Not I, till we. Here are a people that have to be bound and sealed before the world is destroyed. And what is here? Verse 4. I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes, the children of Israel. So there you have the tribes of Israel bundled. So the 144,000, and that immediately takes us to Revelation 14, because at the beginning of 14, at the beginning messages, here they are. And we notice in verse 1, Revelation 14 verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And then it describes detail there, and we come to verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Here is the wheat. Here is the wheat in the last days. And the tares, verse 8 and 9. That's the second angel, Babylon is fallen. And verse 9, the third angel. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Here are the tares. The 144,000 and the tares. He's going to separate from among God the wicked. And this is also written in Ezekiel 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Verses 3 and 4. And here you have a scenario of God speaking in reference to of the wicked of Israel, and these men with their slaughtering weapons in their hand. And as they are sent forth to slaughter, there's another man in verse 2 who's clothed with linen with a righteous inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen which had the righteous inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And verse 5, in mine hearing, go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly, and so on. But come not, in verse 6, come not near any man upon which is... Here you have the same situation, only put in a different way. God's people are being marked so that they will not be destroyed. God's people are being bound in bundles so that they will not be destroyed. Our wicked are bound in bundles to be destroyed. So, as we have given this outline from the Bible, observing from the angels and from the prophecies that this is the harvest time and the sealing of the wheat and the tares and separating of them, the third angel is doing that. Is that something, is that correct what we're doing here? Let's go and check from the inspiration of E.G. White. Early Writings, page 88 through to 89. Early Writings, page 88 Here it reads. E.G. White saw in her vision the whole world going to destruction. I asked the angel if there were none left. He bade me look in an opposite direction, and I saw a little company traveling a narrow pathway. All seemed to be firmly united, bound together by the truth, in bundles or companies. What were the angels doing? They were binding in bundles, companies, bound together by the preaching of the three angels, the truth. Said the angel, now notice, the third angel is binding or sealing them in bundles for the heavenly garner. The third angel is the one that is binding them in bundles for the heavenly garner. So what we've been reading, what we've been concluding is exactly here. And then we come to page 118. And there it is, even more vividly. I then saw the third angel, said my accompanying angel, fearful is his work, awful is his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares, and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garner. These things should engross the whole mind, the whole attention. Here is the powerful reality of biblical truth that ever since 1844, the third angel, when he came in to do his work, and that's the one we're studying here in this series, he is doing this amazing work. Awful is his mission. Fearful is his work. He is selecting the wheat from the tares, and he's binding in bundles. So, indeed, the harvest commenced in 1844. The stooks are being erected to be standing in the heat of the summer to dry right out so that they can be taken into the garner. This is the time in which we're living. And because we see that this, like in the seasons in those days where it took a whole season to do this work because they were all working by hand, that was the symbolic picture of the time of the end, that it would take a period of time. And we remember reading there, blessed are they who die in the Lord from henceforth, their work will follow them. That indeed it is a prolonged period of time. And so, because it is prolonged and the work goes on and on over more than a century, there is an envoy of reinforcement, like in the days of the harvest. It gets a bit long, we need a bit more help to speed it up a little bit and so on. And gleaners come up and pick up. Remember what we read there in Amos? Not a single grain is to fall on the ground. So the gleaning has to take place to pick up all the grains. So is there scriptural evidence that the three angels receive help? We'll come over to Revelation 18. Revelation 18, verse 1 and 2. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven. Another angel, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Here you can see a very powerful angel coming to vivify the work, to make it more intense, because he actually cries with a strong, mighty voice, and he says, Babylon the great is fallen. He's identifying again the tares and the evil of the tares very clearly there. So he cries with a loud voice, and all the earth is lightened with his glory. Give strength and power, and that's exactly what is written here in early writings. To hinder those who felt the work of the Spirit of God upon them. The last call was carried even to the poor slaves, and the pious among them poured forth their songs of rapturous joy at the prospect of their happy deliverance. God was in the work, and every saint, fearless of consequences, followed the conviction of his own conscience and united with those who were keeping all the commandments of God, and with power they sounded abroad the third message. I saw that this message will close with power and strength far exceeding the midnight cry. And she describes them, how the servants of God, endowed with power from on high, with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration, went forth to proclaim the message from heaven. Souls that were scattered all through the religious bodies answered to the call, and the precious were hurried out of the doomed churches, as Lot was hurried out of Sodom before her destruction. God's people were strengthened by the excellent glory which rested upon them in rich abundance, and prepared them to endure the hour of temptation. I heard everywhere a multitude of voices saying, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. This is the bundles. There they are. So very vividly then, Amos 9 verse 9 is in process of taking shape more and more as it goes on. The call for separation is part of these messages. Not a message of stay together everybody, let's all be together, let's be happy together in our families and so on and so on. Nothing like that. These messages have no room for that. These messages are the closing scenes. Cry it out, spare not, show my people their transgression. So of course, the people who want to hear smooth things, they are saying that the people who are doing this work are separating families. They're destroying relationships. But that's what the message is. And it's written very vividly in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. There it is, that we're going to be, we're in such a circumstance where there is no sort of cushy situation of let's just get nicely along with our people who are not really doing what God is saying. It says, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We know, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, and all these terrible things are taking place. And as you see these terrible things, you know, with people who are boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, with all these characteristics that are brought out here, notice verse 5. They have a form of godliness. And in verse 4, they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Now what's the call? From such, turn away. Now notice as we go on studying here that the third angel's message, together with the Revelation 18 and the voice from heaven, are dealing directly with what we're reading here in 2 Timothy 3. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. Here these messages are brought to a climax, and we're living in the time of the end where this must take place. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, because of this, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. When you read these scriptures, you realize there is no pussyfooting around, that those who will not submit to these three angels' messages, we are to separate from. The call is, come away from it. Bundle together truth. That's all. And as the study of Timothy and Corinthians there is very explicit and specific in regards to what we should do with yokings together and with dealing with these horrifying things of Timothy there. You know, when you've got these horrendous scenes of people being like they are and yet claiming to be somewhat religious, get out from among them, from such turn away. All so vivid and simple. So as God is behind these messages, the angels have been sent by him to separate, as we read there in Daniel. Those words are so important, to sever the wicked from among the just. To sever. What does the word sever mean? That's tearing, isn't it? Tearing relationships. Sever them from among each other. And as God is organizing this, there comes a point in time where he says, okay, enough is enough. we've got to do much faster here, right at the very end. Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, 28. What will he do in this final work, as it's been prolonged, and the Revelation 18 angel comes along, and the other voice from heaven? It says here, in verse 28, or we can read verse 27 again. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. So when he comes up with these last intense thrusts of the revelation of an angel and the voice from heaven, he's going to cut it short. And other people have had years learning, now these other ones will have to move fast, because he's going to cut short his work. And when his work is finished, when these angels have bundled everything, there will come a voice from heaven. This voice is recorded or expressed in Revelation 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. When that has finally been expressed, the sorting out, the tying of the bundles has all been completed, then the people on earth will gradually awaken to the horrible conclusion, in which they have no more choice thereafter. And there it is in Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, and we read verse 20. Here will be the fearful expression: the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Notice that when that declaration is made of the close of probation of Revelation 22, verse 11, that Jesus has not yet arrived as such. The bundling has been completed. As in the harvest practice of the time of Christ, the stooks that were bound together and erected to stand in the heat heat of the summer sun remain standing there to dry out fully in the heat. And if we turn there to Revelation chapter 7, Revelation 7 verses 13 and 14, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Indeed, the people who come out of this heat of the final drying out of all earthliness, of all moisture, these people have come out of great tribulation. The tribulation that is spoken of here is recorded in Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30, and reading there verses 5 through to 7. During the heat of the summer harvest period, there is still some more purging, drying out to take place, and it's a tribulation which is called here the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verses 5 to 7. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see, whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. To go through that time of trouble as part of the wheat sheaves is to dry out everything so that they can be saved. They will be saved out of it. And when that has been completed, the drying out of the sheaves of wheat from all moisture, then comes the statement of Jesus in Matthew 13, verse 30. Matthew 13, verse 30, where it said, let both grow together until the harvest time, and in the harvest time I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. When the stooks have been dried out completely, when the tribulation has done its work, then there will be the gathering in of the sheaves into the barn. What is that? In the closing scenes of the harvest, the people of God went through great tribulation, which is concluded with Revelation 14, verses 14 to 15. Here is the conclusion of the harvest. Revelation 14, verses 14 through to 15. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe, it says here. In the margin it says dried. When in the harvest period of Christ's time, the sheaves were gathered up to be thrown onto the horse, onto the cart, to be taken into the barn, the sickle is still used. It is a very good instrument to pick up and each particular sheave and hoist it up onto the shoulder, and then from the shoulder onto the tray of the cart. And here indeed Jesus is coming as a reaper, not to actually do the work that the angels have already been doing, but to gather the wheat into the barn. Because as Jesus comes, the people are taken from the planet onto the cloud, and he takes them with him back to his abode in heaven. But at the same time, as the wheat is gathered into the barn, the other reaper in verse 17 to 20 of the same chapter 14, it says, and another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire. Mark that. He had power over fire. And what does he say? He cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlong. Here's a very interesting facing of terminologies. He had power over fire. At the same time, it was a winepress of God's wrath. The wicked are going to be burnt, the sheaves of dried out tares are going to be burnt, but there is another detail of this period of time where the winepress of God's wrath is going to destroy the wicked by warfare, by blood flowing, as it said, even unto the horse's bridle, by a space of 1,600 furlongs. So here is another reaper. Notice he with his sickle is gathering in. He is gathering the vine of the earth and to destroy the tares, as it were. So here is the full spectrum of the harvest activity, many reapers, and the one that gathers in after the other reapers have done their work is Jesus Christ to gather in the wheat into the barn. So as we conclude and summarize this whole picture, there is a very good statement made in Testimony to Ministers, page 234. Testimony to Ministers, page 234. Here is the summation of the third angel doing his work during the time of the judgment. It says, the time of the judgment is a most solemn period when the Lord gathers his own from among the tares. What is the experience? It goes on. Those who have been members of the same family are separated. A mark is placed upon the righteous. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Those who have been obedient to God's commandments will unite with the company of the saints in the light. They shall enter in through the gates into the city, and have right to the tree of life. The one shall be taken, his name shall be stand in the book of life, while those with whom he associated shall have the mark of eternal separation from God. So the time of the judgment is a period which we have just been studying now under the third angel's message and the first and second angels with them. The period of the judgment is a period of the harvesting of the earth, of the wheat and the tares, and the separating of the two. And it is indeed a separation that cuts right through all the ranks of social platforms, including the family, as we read there, that those who have been members of the same family are separated because every individual makes his own decision what he is going to do with the beautiful gospel and the work of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ and the hour of God's judgment, how they react to that. So here is the experience under the third angel of the harvest, or the shaking, or the separating of the wheat and the tares. With this, our study is concluded until we look at our next study in enlarging some more of the third angel.